6 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is, of course, the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios. Mike has got sick again. You probably heard a little gravel in his voice yesterday, and that's what happens when you've got a beautiful child and you send him off to school with hundreds of other children. You know, it's sort of like when any of us flies in an airplane, invariably you get sick the next couple of days later because you're stuffed into basically a Budweiser can with 1,000 people going, you know what I mean? And it flies around and circulates for so many hours. So he's taking it easy and being smart, probably back tomorrow, feeling a lot better. But I guess that's what happens, right? When you send out your human, beautiful little probe, and it comes back with even more education than you'd hoped for. Well, today is, it's sort of a good and bad day. It's a good day that nothing truly hideous has happened, with the exception of the stock market, which just took another, leap off the high dive. Expected, by the way, and expected to go down probably another 1,000 or 2,000 points at some point. So if you're still in the thing, while it does have volatility going up at times, I mean, tomorrow maybe it'll go up 300 points. Who knows? It is going to whittle its way down. I personally have stepped away from it. If you'd like to know what to do, survival, this is just a bit of fun for you. A couple of years ago, I published Dick Cheney's personal portfolio on my website. Because one of the things we learn is understand the assumptions, and then we can, of course, make predictions. So where has Dick Cheney been putting his personal money? And as of 2 years ago, he got rid of all his dollars. I had on a Swiss banker. It's kind of amazing what you could do when you have a really good producer. You can track down just the right people to give you all the information you ever wanted. And so on my website right now at GoHarrison.com, one word, GoHarrison.com, is Dick Cheney's personal financial portfolio. And taking a look at where he's positioned his money will tell you what the plan for the future is. And you can note, if you travel back 2 years ago when some of these original investments were made, you can see where we are today and see it as dead spot on. So use it as a guide, use it as a compass, use any way you can to understand things to come, because nothing, and I repeat, nothing is a boo-boo with these people. It's been very easy for us for so many years. Ah, they screwed up in Iraq. They just blew it. Ah, Rumsfeld was a bad general. He just doesn't know what's going on. Oh, no. This thing has gone like a Swiss watch. It is unbelievably efficient. I mean, look what's in Iraq right now. Being built, the largest embassy in the history of humankind. Larger than forts, larger than palaces, the largest embassy in humankind is in Iraq. And guess what's in it? It houses not three, not two, but four oil companies. I'm sorry, did I laugh? I guess I'm overwhelmed. Like, what is an embassy housing oil companies for? And four oil companies at that. Unless, of course, the whole point, or let us say oil company equals the government, or let's just turn it around, the government equals oil companies and no more. Certainly the behavior in the past 8 years has been the government equals oil companies and no more, or the government equals corporate X, Y, and Z and no more. You know, Mussolini's definition of fascism, which is not exactly overreacting here, just look it up. It's so Googleable, it's delicious. And basically he said, fascism is the perfect intertwining of corporation and government. And now that we have the government taking over lots of huge banking institutions, putting them in receivership, the perfect intertwining has almost become one. But this U.S. embassy housing four oil companies also will be bringing in on a daily basis fresh yogurt from the United States. and not to mention bottled water, satellite dishes. This was the stuff that really got a lot of bin Laden types very upset back in 1990 when George Bush the First built a big U.S. base right in the middle of Medina, right in the middle of Mecca. It's kind of like if somebody, you know, a bunch of Protestants went into the Vatican and built a topless bar. Well, I think there actually is one. Never mind. But you get my point. It's you're building something in the middle of somebody's most sacred, most sanctimonious, most extraordinarily well-protected, most worshipped place in the world, and truly defiling it with everything they're against. Whether we agree, if anyone's against it or for it, it's sort of a thing of respect. So what does Bush the First do? Builds a huge military base. But that's not all. Not only is it full of weaponry, but it's got satellite dishes and vodka and all the good stuff, porn, coke machines, in the middle of their most sacred place where they get on their knees several times a day and pray to the east and do what is normal, usual, customary, reasonable for them, and then having all of this sort of right in the middle of it. And guess what? They got upset. Now, if you're Catholic and you have a look at the Vatican and somebody built an IHOP right in the middle of it and had wet t-shirt contests as the Pope is coming out of the door, would that upset you as a Catholic? I'm guessing it probably would. I was raised Episcopalian, whatever that is. I think we're not allowed to eat eggs or wear bright green on a Sunday, something like that. So don't have the same rigors and structures. But this is basically what has gone on. And now with this largest embassy in human history in Iraq, housing four oil companies, what is the message being given to all our friends in the Middle East? Aha, exactly. This is a problem. We now have our new president, or president-elect, Mr. Obama. I'm still, like, leaping around on one toe, I have to say. The excitement, the gorgeousness of having somebody in the White House who looks like the rest of Earth really makes sense to me at this point. The question is, and you guys totally get this, I'm not telling you anything new here, is he is about to inherit extraordinary superpowers, superpowers never envisioned by the founding daddies. No siree. So one of the things we're going to want to do is guide him gently back into a constitutional form of government rather than a constitutional monarchy, which we pretty much have. You saw the news reports today. You've been hearing around the water cooler that Bush is in extraordinary celerity, in intense alacrity, slamming laws through as though it's just water going down a big pipe. Unbelievable. Has put in safeguards, I like that word, for the Patriot Act, as if it's unsafe. Oh no, it's quite safe. We're the ones who are unsafe. But he's locked it in, so now if you raise a finger and say, excuse me, this Patriot Act business here seems like, terrorist! Terrorist! Kill the witch! Burn! You know what I mean? I mean, this is sort of the way we now live. Keep your puss shut. Who can forget? Back just after 2001, Ari Fleischer, the former minister of propaganda for the early Bush administration, declaring officially as the White House spokesman that the American people, quote, had better watch what they say and had better watch what they do. Ooh. So now instead of actually articulating that vocally in ways where we can have the aural pleasure, that's A-U-R-A-L. Instead, we get the printed pleasure of so many pages of how all this secrecy, all this protection is happening. And it's really quite grueling. I mean, it's extraordinary how a guy who is truly disliked. I mean, is there anybody left that you run around and you go, you know, George Bush, and they perk up? Yeah, that's my leader, the president's. Woohoo! Swinging off the jungle gym. No, it's kind of hard to find. And then we learn that the FBI, speaking of Dick Cheney, and you know, there is no more rabid an animal than he. This is a guy, if you've ever seen the cartoon, what was it with, it's a dog. It was a dog and a Wayback Machine, Sherman. Was it part of the Bullwinkle show? I think it was. Simon Bar Sinister. If you know that cartoon character, close your eyes, think of that, think of Dick Cheney. Yep, same guy. And guess what? The FBI now has permission to use your cell phone to spy on you. Uh-huh. We're going to take a look at that and a lot of other stuff and sort of see what kind of stuff they're going to try to ram down our throats at the last minute, what we can do about it. Plus, we're going to have a little Hollywood conversation with some progressives. We're going to talk to, Paris Hilton's hardly a progressive, but you need to have the pure pleasure of her political opinion. Antonio Banderas, Melanie Griffith, a lot more, 1-800-989-1480. The Michael Lloyd Show. Past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show live from our Nova M Hollywood studios. Mike's got a bit of the sniffles tonight, but he is on the mend, practicing basic self-care. Always a smart thing, but I wish I were that smart. You know, I'll crawl around. You know what I mean? You know, he's smart. He is so smart indeed. Plus, what is more polite than not spreading your cold? Right? Don't you just love being around somebody who's sick and they come up and right on your lips, right? They're so happy to see you, and you're so happy to feel great for the next week. I want to acknowledge a beautiful woman who has just walked in here. And for me to say that, it's quite extraordinary. She's quite extraordinary. One of the things in talk radio, and one of the reasons I think why Mike has such a good time, is he's got his wonderful wife, whom he loves, sitting there with him. And, you know, it's just awesome. If you imagine yourself in a fishbowl, which is what a normal radio studio is, you're basically in a vacuum, in a bell jar, talking to yourself. So not fun, so not interesting, so not compelling. So it's nice to have another human, a beating heart, warm flesh, sitting in front of you. And my particular tastes are, I happen to think that beautiful women, I know this sounds sexist, but they're also quite safe around me. So it turns out just fine. You know, especially progressive ones. This one is named Mercy Malik, and you've heard me mention her name before. She's one of the cool ones that went out to Nevada during 2004, wasn't it?
And this year.
Signing up people, getting them to vote, knocking on doors. I mean, the real deal. Those are the kind of progressives I like to be around, rather than the ones that are, I'm progressive. Really? What are you going to do about it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Uh-huh. That. So, hey, very cool. Also, I want to point out, thank you for all the really nice emails. Mike has cultivated the most extraordinary friends on all these different radio stations. And it's just a testament to what amazing people are in this great hotel earth that we're on, where everybody gets a room. And what a totally awesome philosophy, huh? Our number's here, 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. We'll jump to the phones in just a second. I want to finish off the cell phone thing because it's critically, critically important. One of the things the Bush administration is doing to ram down the gully hole in the last couple of seconds is to make sure that they can fully monitor you. Not that every JPEG you've downloaded in the last 8 years, you know what I'm talking about? Wink, wink. Yep. Those little pictures off the, as Bush would call it, the internets. They're sitting in some 9 billion terabyte mainframe somewhere with your name on it. Just know every time you go into a little chat room or a little midnight webcam episode, all that video in its full volupt glory with your turgid genitalia flapping is permanently archived. And I have no idea what Dick Cheney does with that. If he sits there with his ball gag and spectacles, I don't even want to imagine. Like, what kind of true pervert sits around staring at people, staring at stuff? You know, it's like, get your own life. What a monobrowed, hispidulous, knuckle-walking mountebank. Not to mention his wife, Lon Chaney. Is it Lon? Oh, the other one, yeah. Yeah, I met the head flight attendant on Air Force Two. Air Force Two is what Dick Cheney flies on, and so does Condi Rice, and so does Lon, and so does Laura Bush. And George always flies alone. And by the way, if you didn't know this, it's really important to note, and maybe you have the answer to this, because I'm still deeply perplexed. When the president flies abroad, they bring the presidential porta-potty in Air Force One. Yep, he's got his own flying commode, which is probably what the plane looks like when he's done. They bring this thing along. So if he goes and meets with, you know, Prince Fadiburs or something, they haul out the presidential porta-potty with the eagle on the side, slam it down on the marble floor, and he pops in there, and then they take it away. So there's no evidence left behind. Now, what possibly... cocaine? I don't know. I mean, hey, check me out, you know? So, whatever that is all about. It's mind-boggling, the secrecy, the inchoate, the dark corners, the recesses, the boulders that these people climb under. I mean, when you have to do that, when you have to haul a commode, a, what's a nicer word for that? Is there a nicer word? Ah, the water closet. When you have to bring your own water closet because the Queen of England can't provide a nice enough one at the castle, I mean, that's just highly insulting. I think it is anyway. But here's the deal. On Air Force Two, oh, here I've run out of time. This is really cool. Here's what I learned from the head flight attendant of Air Force Two sitting there for 8-9 hours a time with Dick Cheney and all these other people. What are they like on board? What's the real story? Now, I will admit I had to give the guy hundreds of drinks. It was worth it. I had to spend time with him. But it was worth it. You know, it was for England. Please know I did it for England. 27 minutes past the hour, Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you. 1-800-989-1480. Hang on. Past the hour, it's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. That was brilliantly sampled and edited probably for 9 years by a guy named RX. You, sir, get a gold star on your fanny. That is profound art, if there ever was any. Our number's here, 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. And I'm just going to give you the quick upload, then we'll go to Jerry Lee and Matt and John. Here we are in Air Force Two. So I meet this guy. I'm in Europe, and he's obviously Air Force to be able to fly in Air Force Two with swinging Dick Cheney and Lon and Laura and all the rest. So Dick sits in his seat, always speaks sotto voce, or you never understand it. And you have to make personal omelets. You know, they have chefs on board. It's not like they get, you know, a TV dinner with a tinfoil top and a puff of steam comes out. No. No, you scramble X amount of eggs and you garnish them and you bring it out to Dick and you slam it. No, you carefully place it down on his little airline tray. And if he doesn't like it, he doesn't say anything. He looks up and he glowers. And that's your cue. Oops, take. Now, he didn't taste it. He just didn't like the look. Or maybe he didn't like the scent of the 2.7 chives on the top that melted the wrong way into the cheese. So you got to take the thing back, remake the omelet, bring it back. Maybe he likes it. Maybe he doesn't. And then he eats it. That's all he eats is like omelets, right? Which is really good when you have serious heart conditions. No egg whites for him. Come on, give me the albumin, baby. Boil it up. So there he is, and then he drinks Amstel Lights endlessly. I have another one. And he just gets squiffed, boiled as a goat. And whoever's sitting next to him, you know, she have no idea what's going on, but they're obviously in collusion. Did I happen to mention I was in New York last week? I met the brother of Dick Cheney's attorney when the horrible hunting accident. Remember when he fired a shotgun? Yep, hammered. Another one that I got drunk. Well, you know, it's whatever it takes to get the information. So this guy's telling me that's Dick Cheney's thing. His wife, Lynn, loves to eat and go into the lavatory. So she'll gorge, like pound down, whatever, five steaks, whatever, goes in there, and then just has a tornadic reverse peristaltic surge. Just, I mean, you could probably, the plane probably shakes apart, then comes out and re-eats. So she's a chucker. And then Laura, apparently, who, as you know, has been living for a long time in and out of the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., a very high-end hotel, because George, according to Larry Flint and others who have moles in the White House, is indeed drinking, and she just can't take it. So she sits on the plane with two vials of Tranqs and just gets kind of, you know, blurry-eyed and... It's all good, as we say in California. No worries. It's all good. And Condi, just like we heard after 9/11, the day that was happening, she was shoe shopping because everything was fine. It was going according to schedule. So she's like the Imelda Marcos. She'll pop in for 2 minutes, say something dumb, and then go shoe shopping, come back with cases of shoes, and she sits and models these things for this guy. You know, he happens to be TW that way. So, you know, he's a good ally. As they say, man's best friend is a dog. Woman's best friend is a gay man. So he stares at her shoes and says, ooh, ah, points, turn a little to the left, whatever. And she loves it. So that's the people leading. That's the exciting bunch there. And thank God they are leaving, huh? We'll get into the cell phone thing in just a couple of minutes. We'll also take a look at... I shouldn't say. Well, you know. We'll hear from Antonio Banderas and Melanie Griffith, too, about this whole gay marriage thing. And maybe I'll do a little reprise of something I played the very last time at the end, the fundamentalists I went head-to-head with. Man, what a battle. They were nasty. But by request, it was certainly lots of fun. In the meantime, let's say hi to Jera Lee at KPHX in Phoenix. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm swell.
Well, I just had to call because I'm a fan in Phoenix, and I guess my thing, you've said so many things so eloquently and so graphically. I just see images when you talk. They're beautiful. Thank you.
What you mean the commode one? That wasn't too graphic, I hope.
Oh, well, yeah, that was graphic, too. I mean, everything.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, this movie goes in. It's like I'm watching a movie when you love your stuff. Okay?
Well, just think Philco. Think black and white Philco. You'll live longer, trust me.
I think so. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You know, and it's the first time I've called the radio since. Obama did the good thing, or the people did the good thing.
Yes, they did.
The people did the good thing, people.
You know, Geralee, that is what democracy looks like. We knew from people like, you know, Brad Friedman, who spends really, I think, his whole life staring at Diebold voting machines.
By the way, Brad was right about Arizona was stolen. I know it.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah.
In a heart. It was over 100 million, 100,000, sorry, I'm dyslexic, so I do weird things with numbers. 100,000 provisional ballots.
I'm not going to drive with you then.
Right. Well, I get there. I have a GPS thing. I'm visual, remember?
Yeah. Well, here's what's interesting, because we knew, you know, from Greg Palast, too, from the Independent of London, from the BBC, from a variety of different sources outside of U.S. soil, that the Republicans were up to hideous monkey shines. Much has been proved already, and that the only way to win was simply to have a tsunami of voting. Tidal waves of humans showing up and just hammering the voting, just constantly another wave over, and it worked.
Yes.
It worked. Never have I in my lifetime, you and yours, or anybody, I don't think, even my 97-year-old grandmother, who makes a wicked rhubarb pie, by the way.
Really?
I don't think even, yes, she does. Oh. I don't think even in her lifetime she's ever seen anything like this. It is exciting. Like, for the first time in years, I could say, God, I'm an American. This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time. And the thing I wanted to ask you about is, how's L.A. doing? I heard just on the radio, just as I was on listening, is that there's still a couple hundred or more people in front of the temple.
Yes, so we did storm the Mormon temple as if it were the Bastille. It was very exciting. I ended up getting probably too much time on various TV channels in states of stretched face and bug eyes and wrenched body. Just really a kind of an exciting, weird. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. It was weird.
Yeah,
the whole
LA
thing is. But here, thank you.
Nah.
Well put.
It's
two words. It's L.A. What more do you need to know?
Right.
And here's what's cool. I mean, this thing now comes Saturday, and
especially if you've lived there.
Especially so for people just joining us right now, this Proposition 8, the huge quick upload, is the Supreme Court of California ruled that gay people should be allowed to get married because they're taxpaying Americans like everybody else.
Yes.
Boom, they're equal, period. So a mob got together, funded by the Mormon Church, and put in this plebiscite thingy that says, well, we don't think so. So it's the first time really in American history that rights have been removed. It is dramatic.
Special effects.
All right, I'm gonna let you go, because I really don't want to be responsible for anything further. But so this Saturday we're gonna be amassing by I would say at least probably 50,000. Last Friday night, 12,500 people showed up and we marched. The cops were there with their horses, you know, visors. I didn't know that our tax money built such extraordinary machinery either. I've never seen these kind of non-lethal weapons pointed at a bunch of peaceful people before, and it was a beautiful moment. So all over the nation at different city halls are going to be people, straight people, everybody, the whole soup, cat, and pizzas. So, hey, it's revolution time. I'm going to be just letting you know, next hour in the beginning, we're going to play this head-to-head with the Fundamentalist. I mean, they nearly clobbered me. It was a beautiful moment, and I got to ask all the questions you've always wanted to ask these people, because, you know, I try to pay attention, and it's really quite fascinating. Next, we'll go to Matt, we'll go to John, we'll go to Chris. 1-800-989-1480, our numbers here, 1-800-989-1480. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. You can say hi to me anytime you want, of course, by going to GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. And check out Dick Cheney's personal portfolio in my blog section. It's so exciting to see how he divested out of America 2 years ago, because he's a patriot. In return for grace, it's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get away. 50 minutes past the hour. That's 5-0. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Radio studios in fabulous Hollywood, California. I want to play you a quickie, super quickie little interview that I did with Paris Hilton, because you got to hear this. I mean, seriously, you have to hear this. She had done a movie, and so I was asking her about it. And then, of course, you know, just like you would, you'll go right off topic and ask about politics. Like, what do you think? Because she's got millions of fans all over Earth. So what she says is going to have a lot of weight, right? Just like if, Oprah says, I use Crest toothpaste. They're going to sell a lot of Crest. Because if it's good enough for Oprah, it's good enough for me. So the same thing was with Paris. So, well, you know, what do you think of elections? It was my way of sort of fueling it in what I assumed would be the correct direction. And here's how it came out.
Paris, you've done this movie, which you're inviting people, your fan base, to look inside. We've got the elections coming up. You know, how should they maybe be looking at that?
At
the elections.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Because that's what it's all about. I just do everything just to make myself happy, and I don't even know who I'm going to vote for. I have no idea. So I don't. I don't know.
Wow. I guess that's the wow, huh? Like, first of all, I never understood how anybody didn't know. Seriously. Like, well, there's this huge bunch of Americans who have no idea. They can't make a decision. Really? You really can't make a decision? I mean, really? Seriously? Like, well, no. I mean, they're both extraordinary, and, you know, I mean, John McCain, why, he's got that white hair that's so white you can actually see a scalp through it. You know, I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, what? Who doesn't? Well, anyway, that was a lot of fun. Just trying to keep you up to speed on Hollywood. I don't want you to get the wrong idea now out here and think that we're vapid and vacuous. No, sir. We are deep here, baby. We are deep. In fact, I'll prove that a little later. You'll hear from Antonio Banderas and Melanie Griffith. They are super cool. And a mildly radical, too. Just the way we like it. Yeah, go, baby. So we'll give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's say hi to Matt on KTLK in Los Angeles. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey, this is Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend.
All right. Hey, I just, you know, it's interesting. I caught the first part of your program, and it kind of goes along with what I wanted to bring up. You know, Bush is tracking us for everything, looking at what we're doing. Well, there's U.S. citizens out there, such as myself and others, that are actually watching what he's been doing, and that kind of brings me to my point. I'm a college student. I work at Barnes & Noble, right?
Uh-oh, and you know how to read and write?
Pretty much, yeah.
You're on the list, honey. No fly. No fly for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I get a bunch of titles across my, you know, the desk and see a bunch of things. I've actually started reading one book. I don't know. I want to get your take on it. It's called The Prosecution of George W. Bush.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, and the thing I've been wondering is, when Obama takes office, you know, the only thing I'm worried about is if it does go through with them prosecuting George W. Bush for murder because of the Iraq War, is Obama going to pardon him? That's what I've been wondering. And it's the only thing I'm worried about, that if, it, you know, the separate states, district attorneys, or whatever attorneys they are, go and prosecute him for murder, if, you know, at the end result is going to be Obama giving him a pardon, is what I'm wondering.
You know, I tend to agree that probably would be the likely outcome, and here's why. If he doesn't, it sets a precedent that U.S. presidents at the top level become vulnerable to things like war crimes. And the way we've set this up for the last 20 years plus is we've done everything to derail the United Nations, everything to derail the Hague, the tribunals, all the different war crimes commissions. We have always had exceptions, whether it was Bosnia, whether it was any the invasion of Panama, it doesn't matter. We've always found exceptions. Even if we were charged by international courts, we always got out of it and said it doesn't count for us. We're not like the rest of the world, which are filled with icky people. We're special, you know how we are.
Yes.
And we've so if Obama does let Bush get prosecuted, that makes him vulnerable, because you have to believe in the next 4 years something's going to happen. Somebody's going to get bombed. He's going to do something. And a lot of us aren't going to like it. And it may be for mineral rights or something we don't agree with. I have no idea. But it's going to make him vulnerable for that, too. Is he going to open up the government to that, I wonder?
Yeah, well, so you're saying the bottom line is he's above the law?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, we've seen sovereign immunity, if you want to call it that, with Bush as a unitary executive, you know, self-declared as such.
Yeah, the other thing I was wondering, too, is, you know, you brought up Dick Cheney. An interesting thing.
I'm sorry. I always react to that.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Yeah, well, basically, you brought him up, and it triggered something in my head that I had heard a while back, that he had sold his properties in the U.S. as well. And he actually bought a spot in Dubai. Now,
that's where Halliburton is located.
Yeah, and it's funny how, you know, people just don't know that after 9/11 happened, you know, stock market crashed then as well. What were some of the only companies that made a gain from that? What were they? The defense contracting companies, which he was a former CEO of, right?
Of Halliburton, yes.
Yeah, Halliburton, yeah, you know, and it's too, I mean, I just hate how people these days don't stand up for, you know, their country and what's right, and really research things and find out about, you know, people like Dick Cheney, Bush, and everybody. I mean, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know about it, but we don't seem to hear too much of those dirty little secrets.
Well, here's the good news, Matt. How old are you, quickly?
I'm 28.
Awesome. Your new job, and I am dubbing you. I am knighting you, sir. You are now a knight of the realm of Malloy.
Thank you.
Your job is to go out and be Paul Revere.
Well, hey, I do it. You know, my dad's in the Veterans for Peace in Orange County, so I deal with a lot of, you know, different veterans issues. I know what's going on, you know.
Exactly. And that's a beautiful thing. Thank you, my friend. Our number is 800-989-1480. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. 57 minutes past the hour. Hang on. Tonight we'll be talking to Hattie Mae McGillicuddy, the cleaning lady of Mr. John McCain. She's sitting here with her brassiere wrapped around her neck as she's been down with her bucket and mop. 6 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show here at our Nova M Hollywood studios. Mike's coping with a case of sniffles tonight and practicing basic self-care, something brilliant to do because when in doubt, check it out, or check on out, so you can get well, right? Absolutely. We've been taking a look at some of the issues going on. God, Limbaugh says that, doesn't he? Oh, I wish I could rewind that. I can never take that back. I swear I'll never do it again. He says issues. I think he does, something like that. I stopped listening many years ago because I found my eardrums would bleed, and there's nothing unsexier than walking into a place with blood rolling down your neck. So that's why I simply tune out on that one. Let's see. We're going to get to the cell phone thing soon. We're also going to hear from Antonio Banderas, Melanie Griffith, plus my fundamentalist battle where they really did pull out their scabbards, but I pulled out mine. And guess whose was bigger, so to speak. Okay. How about John in Santa Monica, California? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey, it's John.
Hi, John.
On LFCDS, John.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We should say what that means. What that means is I'm originally from Lake Forest, Illinois, which is north of Chicago. LFCDS is Lake Forest Country Day School, where both of us did time, but in a different era, right?
Absolutely, but I made it out okay, and so did you. It's so good to hear you again. It's such great energy, and I just wanted to share with you my experience as an election supervisor. I've done it a few times, and a few elections, and I've never seen so much energy. When I arrived there at 6 o'clock in the morning, we already had 40 people lined up outside waiting to vote, and we had people around the block the whole day.
Wow. Yeah, it's truly amazing. And look how people are acting now when you see them in the grocery stores and sidewalks. It's not kind of that way we were, kind of downtrodden, depressed, saggy jowls, walking around defeated and beaten up. There's a little twinkle, a little spark, a little spring in the step nowadays.
Yeah, and people seem to be reaching out and communicating. I had a guard at Home Depot just out of the blue asked, "So you vote for Obama?" And I said, "Yeah." I mean, I don't know how the hell he knew, but...
And then he didn't charge you sales tax. See, I'm learning the language, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, in any event, one of the callers was talking about the prosecution of George Bush, and great book, by the way, by Bugliosi, and
yes.
Also highly recommend W if you haven't seen it. W is a must-see.
I was told it was a mild homage, in a way, that you actually walk out feeling sorry for the guy. And I don't want to have that kind of shift. I mean, I don't feel sorry for him because he's complicit, unequivocally complicit. There is 0% that has happened where he didn't sign off on it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you, Harrison. You're absolutely right on that. I mean, I think it's a primer, though, for people who don't have a clue about Cheney and what kind of a role Cheney played and Romney and
role playing. I knew it. You're absolutely right. Is it still in theaters, or is it already out on DVD?
I don't think it's out on DVD yet. I saw it with Miss Fish out in Alhambra on Main Street in Garfield. So
you saw it with a fish?
You say... My teacher, my mentor.
Oh.
Blondie. But anyway, well, yeah, we saw it last night, and it was phenomenal.
Okay.
And, I mean... From that sense, from that viewpoint, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he signed off and everything, but there was a line in there where he said, says to Cheney in front of everybody, but I'm the decider. And I think that kind of frames his whole attitude toward his cabinet and toward the country in general, which is, you know, I'm making the decisions. And that he's kind of a mush mind. I mean, that comes across pretty clearly.
Yeah, there's no question. And though he's a mush mind, he's wily. Like a fox. He is brilliant in the lie, cheat, and steal department. There is no equal.
Yeah, well, I think he's kind of a clone of Mr. Rove, and I think without Karl Rove, he's missing, you know, half of his brain, half of his operation.
Well, he's the missing link, and finally we found it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, my friend. Hey, thanks for giving a call.
My pleasure. Keep it going.
All right, pal. Take care. See ya. 1-800-989-1480. Our number's here on the Mike Malloy Show. 1-800-989-1480. How about Keith on KTLK in Norwalk, California, the voting capital of Southern California? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Yes, it's so good to hear your voice again. I remember you with activism and go-go. You really got me energized. I was out there with you and Gandhi and that march over in Hollywood. And, man, it's so good to hear you again. And I voted no on A. I'm in Veterans for Peace over in Long Beach. We set up the stuff in Orange County, and it's so good to hear you again, Harrison. You're the only other guy that I'd rather have fill in for. Mike Malloy, honestly.
Oh, thank you, my friend. It's a treat to be able to, hang out with Mike's friends. I'll tell you that. It's good for me. It's a good deal. So what's cooking?
Well, we got a meeting coming up in Long Beach on the 24th. It's mine and my wife's anniversary, but she wants me to still go. And it's at 245 West Broadway in Long Beach at Suite 101. And anybody that's interested in... working with us is more than welcome to show up.
All right, my friend. Well, people have heard you, and thank you for being a cool activist. And there's nothing like real witnesses, people who have come back, who have been in battle, who have seen the worst, who come back and say, you know what, this is actually the better choice, rather than a bunch of, you know, people like Dick Cheney who've seen exactly how many minutes of battle? Zero. But he's seen a lot of World War II movies. You know, the kind they made in the 60s where all the sergeants were 65 years old. Sarge? Yeah. So it's always really powerful when real people have seen the real deal and come back and tell you that they've changed their outlook, that it's that powerful. That stuff will always be the greatest in storytelling. How about Dave in Huntington Beach, California? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hi, Harrison.
Hey there.
This is the progressive clockmaker down in Huntington Beach.
Cool.
The married progressive clockmaker in Huntington Beach.
Are you TW, sir?
Yes.
That way. You're one of the 18,000, huh? They got married, you know, the Mormon Church is thinks you're icky poo-poo.
Yes, that's true. Well, I'm taking I did a lot before the election, taking part in demonstrations and making a YouTube video and putting signs in my shop window and talking to anybody who would listen.
Now, you said you're down in Orange County, right?
Right, uh-huh.
We should explain what that means. In the L.A. Hollywood area, where we really are quite open-minded and progressive, I'd say most of us, it's a city where I've seen literally one McCain bumper sticker on a car. Literally, Los Angeles, 50 miles, right? It's like 12 suburbs looking for a city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huge, massive place. One McCain bumper sticker the whole time. And then there's this county just south of L.A. called Orange County. And honest to God, you describe it.
Well, I'll tell you, my parents' neighborhood, which is real close to me here, was full of McCain-Palin signs and Yes on 8 signs. And they have my mother, she's 89 years old, she is so intimidated that she had me park around the corner with my No on 8 bumper sticker on my truck.
God.
That's how scary some of these people are down here.
Sorry, I coughed politely and turned off the mic. Wasn't that thoughtful? See, I have good manners. I'm not in Orange County. That's terrible. Intimidating an 89. She's going to be a novagenarian.
That's
imagine
right.
Her walking out and seeing these. They really are a weird, violent bunch. And we're going to pause in just a second. And I'm going to play you the tete-a-tete with these people and listen to what they do. They try to make me straight, which I used to do that. I was actually fairly good at it, by the way. But, you know, I don't want to do that to – it's just – you know what I mean. You know, it's just kind of crap. Not being straight, but me being straight. That's crap. You don't want me stealing your women, right? Do you need any more competition? I don't think so. Think of it as a gift. Let the gays get married, and they won't have to marry you. Bottom line. Thank you so much, my friend. Stay progressive. Keep kicking arse. And do the next right thing, whatever that is, okay?
Okay.
All right, my friend. 1-800-989-1480. Our number's here on the Mike Malloy Show. 1-800-989-1480. Harrison with you. You could say hi anytime you want. GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. There you will also find Swingin' Dick Cheney's personal financial portfolio published, along with Uncle Harry's one-step guide to martial law. Everything from the beginning of the Bush administration up to now, leading up to his legal ability, as we speak, simply to declare martial law should the king see fit. King George, uh-huh, uh-huh. 16 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, Mike Malloy Show, more to come.
I wanna be a Republican. I'm tired of doing what I should. Wanna do what I can. Grab as much as I can. Keep it all for me. Cause life is a party, and the grand old party is the party where I wanna be.
Yeah. Lower taxes are God's plan. Global warming helps my tan. Give a gun to every man to protect us from malarians. When you know you're better than all those non-Americans, there's no need to join the Klan. Just become Republican.
I'm tired of thinking about you when it's all about me, 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 me. With values strong, they fight the obscene. Now I found a place where I am embraced for being selfish and mean.
Like things as they used to be. Miss the old Confederacy. Government
government should let us be, but not your
body.
Tired of diversity, defund universities, set the corporations free, come and join the GOP.
22 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios tonight. 1-800-989-1480, our numbers here. Let's jump over to Bruce in somewhere California, internal California, it says. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening, Bruce.
I just wanted to comment on the couple things. First of all, on the comment about the pardon and Obama's potential pardon of Bush as a precedent.
Yes.
I went to a attended a meeting where Vince Pugliosi was speaking, and I spoke to him personally about that very issue. And it's just to be just a clarification that the law is very specific about pardons, that they are for crimes against the United States, or in other words, federal crimes. Since murder is a state statute, it won't matter. It won't change the fact that he's prosecutable under murder statutes within the state.
That's right. That's right. Vince did all of his due diligence on that and found all the possible angles and loopholes, given his extraordinary history in Los Angeles, doing just that.
Right. And so I wanted to, you know, just make a clarification.
Thank
so
you.
The readers, excuse me, the listeners would.
Some are reading this show. I'm telling you, I've been read many times.
Yeah, and one other thing, the other gentleman that called about being an election supervisor,
mm-hmm.
I was also. And I worked the polls from 6:15 till about 9 o'clock in the polling place. And the turnout was tremendous. It was amazing. There was only a couple of times during the day where every booth wasn't filled. Sometimes there was a line stretching around the corner. Sometimes there was no line, but it was just as people went out, another person came in, and it still kept the place full.
Yeah.
And it was only a very short period of time during the entire day where we were able to try to catch up with some of the work and transfer some of the information to other books and whatnot. So just so that you know, it was an amazing turnout.
Well, it feels that way to me. I didn't get a chance to get in there because I was trapped on an airplane most of the day. But as I reported the other day, what happened is I got off at the airport at LAX, which if people haven't flown into L.A., I mean, just imagine O'Hare in Chicago or JFK in New York. And
yeah,
it was
a major metro.
Yeah, huge. And it was announced that McCain had already bailed, and there was literally screaming,
really?
Echoing down the halls of this massive airport. People started dancing around in the halls, and then TSA.
God, I wish they had a big video of that.
I know. I wish I'd whipped out my phone, but I whipped out something else. I was so happy. And and TSA stood there and blocked off the hallways with their arms crossed until we settled down. Right? You know, it was like the Bush said, shut up. Stay in line. Mind the gap. But it was really amazing, my friend. So you are a true patriot, and you did it. You won.
Well, I'm thrilled at the outcome, but... And I'm still hopeful that Bush is going to face the bar of justice someday.
Well, he'll definitely face the bar. I think he faces it every night.
I've got a minute to make another comment. With Pugliosi has done something really unique, and he really needs to be applauded. He has single-handedly taken away from Bush the ability to just live freely. He always has to be watching over his shoulder. He never knows whether there's a prosecutor somewhere, either out of a sense of justice or an opportunity to make a name for himself, wants to prosecute. And Pugliosi was very clear when I spoke to him that if a murder charge is filed, as this lady in Vermont wanted to do, then what happens immediately is that is transmitted to the local authorities wherever he is, and they are bound by law to pick him up and arrest him.
Except in Uruguay.
Well, Paraguay, yeah, he has his ranch there.
That's
right.
And
that's what I was going to say. So basically, Bush is either going to always be looking over his shoulder, or he's going to be in exile in Paraguay.
He's going to be in exile.
And so, you know, which is fitting. With all the other war criminals, it's a fitting place for him to be.
Yeah, the boys of Brazil, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that's why the Nazis went there too.
Well,
they were protected. He bought 100,000 acres down there, so he's nice and safe. And and
well,
secure.
I think it won't turn out the way that we're all afraid it will. I have real confidence, and thank you, by the way, for making that clear for all of us. I'm convinced that more and more of us are getting excited about doing the right thing and about taking the appropriate positive American risks as full citizens. So, you know, as Gore Vidal told me before, agitate, baby. He left the baby off it, but agitate. 27 minutes past the hour, Mike Malloy Show, Harrison with you. Four minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show live from our Nova M Hollywood studios tonight. I want to give a quick shout out to John Scott, the program director at Green 960. They have built one of the most progressive, cool, of course it's in San Francisco, but you don't have to do that just because you're there, but he's chosen to do that and has done an extraordinary job. So just like everywhere, wherever Mike is, good things are happening, that's for sure. Our number is here, 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. Say hi to, how about Tom on Sirius Satellite in Maryland? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Yes, first off, just like to comment, first-time voter, voted for Obama, first time. Tell you, the line was all the way out the door. Couple
and worth waiting
there.
For, right?
Oh, definitely.
Well, you got it.
Hey, so anyway, just had to comment a little bit on Proposition 8. Just first off, I cannot believe it actually didn't. But it actually passed in a state like California.
I know.
It's so disappointing.
It's so disappointing. But, you know, you figure the thing about California, the way it's set up is mob rule works, but then it has to go to adult supervision. Just because it passed doesn't mean it's happening. Now the legislature has to figure out, well, is it reasonable? Is it an amendment? What the hell is it? And then they have to vote. The majority has to say it's a good idea. And then it goes back to the people.
Sure.
And here's why. You could decide to bring back slavery, and the Mormon Church could give you $20 million, as they did for Prop 8, and the people go, yes, what a great idea, and it passes. And
sure.
That's why you have to have grown-ups saying, you know, come on.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, hopefully, you know, we're a pretty progressive state out here in Maryland, so hopefully one day we can also get gay marriage legalized here. Wouldn't surprise me. So, the other thing I had to comment on is I grew up in a pretty evangelical household, and these people truly scare the hell out of me sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm
going to play you something. This is a little popular demand. Got a bunch of emails about it, so I'm just going to play it again. It's short. It's this head-to-head I did with these people outside of the Mormon church that wanted to convert me into one of them, but better than one of them, a straight version of one of them, because they don't want one of me, not as one of them, halfway,
sure.
If you catch my drift. So as we say in the Episcopal Church anyway, take, eat. It was given for you.
Harrison on the Edge, Nut Update.
God commands me to flee youthful lust, which war against the soul. I have to be able to turn my life over. If God is giving me a free entrance to heaven, forgiveness of all my sins, I have to be able to say, God, whatever you want, I'm going to do things your way. If
well,
God...
Here's a question, because a lot of people aren't going to understand. A lot of people are going to say, really, what you're talking about is a group of people who don't want to procreate, a group of people who choose not to screw, say, your heterosexual women. I mean, that's really the problem. If these gay guys were out there having sex with your women, you wouldn't be standing here upset, would you? I mean, you wouldn't be wearing a sign saying if they ask you how to go straight, you can tell them, right?
Well, living a
God
life.
God made some people eunuchs, which would infer that God made some people from birth that didn't have an.
You mean imply?
Yes, that God. Jesus said. God said that God. Apparently, Jesus
is
saying.
Let's take a second at your sign here. There is hope. Jesus loves you, and through Him, you can go straight. Please ask you how. How did you become an expert on homosexuality?
I'm not referring specifically to homosexuality.
Your sign says, ask you how to go straight. So I would ask you, are you gay? There's a gay girl next to me. I'm going to ask you, like your sign says, how does she go straight? You know how to take away her biological drive, her genetics, her DNA. You know how to alter her into a procreation machine. How do you do that?
That's not what my solution.
I have no bad feelings against y'all. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, I'm just curious about information because you say here you know how to make somebody go straight. Can you just wave a magic wand, put some non-fairy dust on it?
They have to want it.
But if they're supposed to be that way by nature, I mean, this fellow over here said that he agrees that nature definitely plays a part. If by nature, then you're asking them to go against nature, which would be against God's design. So wouldn't that be a problem, a bifurcation in the argument?
I didn't say God made people gay. I just meant that he made some people that they weren't attracted to the opposite sex. There's a difference.
Okay, well, so what do you call that?
God, Jesus calls it a eunuch.
Eunuch has no procreative ability. In other words, typically a eunuch is created by other humans. In other words, the testicles are removed, usually as an act of violence or as a guard, say, for women in high places. So Jesus is not saying that gay people are eunuchs. Not by any stretch did he say that. We know for sure it's actually not in the Bible.
No, actually... I've seen it over and over there.
New English Bible.
So it was made by Americans. They made it up and put it in a Bible that was it in the Greek Bible, the original?
They didn't speak English.
So we're rewriting the Bible to fit our argument, is that right? Our religious argument?
Back to the unit thing.
No, let's answer the question. Okay. Is the Bible being rewritten to fit, say, your argument?
It's retranslated in a modern-day language.
It doesn't need to be translated. It's in English already, King James. It's in real, actual English. It's being rewritten to fit an argument. Why do you need to rewrite English into English?
So what you're saying is the context would change the actual meaning of what's clearly being spoken?
Just like anything in your life, the context of why you're standing here is because you're bored on a Friday night.
The people were living in sin, in that type of sin.
No, that's not what it says in the Bible around that passage, is it?
The Corinthians were living...
We're not talking Corinthians.
Hypocrites, the clear sinners, everybody's condemned if they're not completely giving God their whole life. And not.
Let's talk about your own psychosexual appetite here. What brings you to the point where you have such an incredible and intense obsession with what two naked gay men do together?
They had to kind of drag me out here. This isn't... There are people out here, and we just met a guy that wanted out of the homosexual abomination.
Wouldn't death be better for him? I mean, why not just help him kill himself?
We didn't write the rules. We're just taking what God gave us.
So you're telling me that God told you to walk around with these signs saying, you're going to hell, God hates you, die fag die, and AIDS cures non-believers. AIDS cures non-believers. That other sign there says, I can make you straight. In other words, you as a mortal human being have the power to change the fundamental nature of this man and make him more in your image. And that if he bows before your version of God, he's going to be changed.
He will be if he's has...
If you can make him heterosexual, he says, listen, if you're your daughter, I'll go straight. Would you let him?
If he will have sex with her.
Is it worth it to you to see him go straight that much?
Oh, sure.
So what you're telling me is that you would take your own daughter, your own flesh and blood, and pimp her out, like throw her on the sidewalk and let some complete stranger...
Right, absolutely.
So that you could have your way? What kind of father are you? What kind of human being are you?
Well, living... a life of sexual purity? We believe.
I'd like to answer that about why we're out here. There are, most Christians have written this crowd off, and they think, well, they're going to hell, and let them go, and we're not going to try to even reach them. But we're not that way, and we believe there's a lot of people here that God is going to reach into heaven. And
what do you think? What do you think of the Jews that are here?
They can go to heaven too.
What do you think? They're going to go to heaven?
They don't believe the Savior has risen and come back to...
What happens to them?
It's just like the blood over the door frame in Egypt. Those that didn't have the blood on their door frame were had death in their home.
This woman standing here is a Buddhist, and she believes in the inner light and doing the right thing in the world and being kind. And how would you feel personally knowing, like watching her be killed? Would you feel bad as a person?
When they die and they go to the gate.
Harrison on the Edge, Nut Update.
Oh, my. Well, Tom, did that, Tom in Maryland on Sirius, did that feel familiar?
Sadly enough, yes. Actually, the church I was kind of forced to go to as a kid, basically, that's all the crap you heard all the time. These people act like they have some invisible voice in the sky tell us what to do and telling us how we're all going to go to hell.
Well, it's probably true, and I'll just tell you why. The president of the United States, the current sitting president of the United States, has, by his own admission, and shall we say, gloating, he has personal conversations with God and with Jesus. That's big.
I have the feeling if Jesus were actually a person, then probably about the last person you'd want to talk to.
Thank you, my friend. Be well, all right?
No problem. Thanks.
Take care. 1-800-989-1480. Our number's here. 1-800-989-1480. Mike Malloy Show. Harrison in with you tonight from our Nova M Hollywood studios. You can visit me anytime at goharrison.com. Shoot me an email. I will write you back personally in, well, I can't type, so it may look like barbed wire, but it will be kind in any event. 45 minutes past the hour. Hang on. We've got a little Antonio Banderas, Melanie Griffith, and a lot more of your calls to come. That's 50. Yeah, it sounds like you don't... 15 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios tonight. Mike's got a bit of the sniffles, and he's practicing smart, basic self-care so he can be back in a flash. We're talking about this, that, and the other. How's that for vagueness? Let's go to... who do you want to do first? You want to go to Greg in Phoenix on Sirius Satellite? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
Doing all right, my friend.
Good. Thanks for taking my phone call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I have a different viewpoint from most of your callers, actually. I listen occasionally satellite radio. I listen to Sirius Left, just like I listen normally to Patriot, and I tend to lean a little more towards the right. I'm trying to figure out your caller last.
That may
hour.
Be Peroni's syndrome.
Now, I'd just like to know what everybody's up to. I don't think you're going to get the complete truth from any one side. I think everybody should try and figure that out for themselves, actually.
Absolutely.
As much information as possible. But the caller last hour, Matt, I believe, worked at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And then the book, The Prosecution of George Bush, I'm not familiar with. I can't say I've read it, but I'm a little fuzzy on how exactly you could possibly charge a sitting president with war crimes when, in fact, Now, the president can't declare war. I mean, that was Congress that declared it as a war. I mean,
well,
granted,
they didn't, but they didn't, and
they
we know they didn't. No, well, they didn't. They just funded it, but they never called it a war.
Well, in that case, the president can't call it a war either, is what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like the president said, hey, we're declaring war, and I'm going to send everybody to their death. It wasn't. And mind you, before I go any further, let me say,
yes,
I don't think it was a good idea, personally.
Okay.
And I consider myself a conservative. I don't think it was the right play. I think there was definitely things that needed to be done, but a full-scale invasion and a war, I didn't think was the right play to make in that case. But all that being said...
Yeah, and you're right, because with a war, you have to have two sides.
Well,
with an occupation, you just have one.
Well, that's true.
But at least we have the largest embassy humankind has ever known with four oil companies in it. I think it's money well spent, $15 billion a month, 1,300,000 dead women and children, don't you?
I feel as though it
would. I mean, why would you prosecute somebody for that? That sounds like a nice, kind gesture.
I will understand your point, sir. Mine being simply this. There are, you know.
So do you not think that that's, shall we say, a high crime or at least a misdemeanor?
I think that it was a very poor choice, but I do think that.
You don't think it's a misdemeanor? You wouldn't call it, like if I killed your entire family, and let's take out your city, too, while we're at it, would that be prosecutable as a misdemeanor, or would you just say it was a wrong choice? Oops.
Okay.
Kind of an oops. Oops.
I understand your point. Now, here's mine. Murder, by definition, is not something that a government does in time of war. War is war, and war is not murder.
But we just agreed
whether
it's not war.
Whether or not,
we just agreed it's not war. So, therefore, that doesn't apply.
Here's my point.
Okay.
It's a legal issue, I grant you. It is a legal issue. Was it legal to be there? Okay.
No.
It was. You say
no.
It was
it's
illegal.
It's not legal. Nobody on earth thinks it's legal to be there, except, Rummy and Dick and some of the other people like
Constitution.
Dick.
You're saying constitutional law, however, was not violated.
Really?
There is absolutely zero. You can have allegations from here to forever as to whether or not, you know, somebody lied or somebody did this or somebody that.
But we know. But we have
proof.
We have proof. We have proof. The Downing Street memo. We have proof. We have written proof. We have the actual minutes of the cabal, the collusion, and the delightful plan. We have it in print. We were there.
Let me ask you that.
Is that an oops or is that admissible? Should we say Exhibit A? It was planned.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to contest it. If there's proof, absolutely. And you know what? If they want to have a kind of hearing, they want to go on and on. That's great. That's not a problem. I understand, and it's fine.
But
my point simply being, they need to prove that in order to put the man, you know, in prison, you know, for a war crime. And frankly, your point earlier regarding pardons, and another caller had made it as well.
Uh-huh.
Interesting note. Well, who's to say that if JFK had not been assassinated or if LBJ had not decided to opt out of a second term, where's the war crime there? How did we go from American advisors in Vietnam just advising to committing combat troops without approval from Congress, without an American say-so, and 58,000 people died? And what happened there?
Right, upwards of 72,000, and not to mention the over, 3 million of them, and not to mention the other 1 million that are suffering from the effects of Agent Orange, third-generation births. I mean, horrible stuff going on.
History from the left side says that JFK was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I have no problem with the man.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's very difficult for me to stomach people picking and choosing who they like and dislike. And for me,
that's what we do.
A lot of this seems to stem from a personal – it's a personal, you know, loathing of the man himself. And mind you,
No, it's not.
George W. Bush.
No, it's not. It's about dead people. It is the same thing that happened in the 60s when people marched by the millions many times. All of that, and they basically pushed Nixon right out. Well, he pushed himself at the end. You know, this is the same thing, but this was right in front of us. And unlike in the Vietnam War, I mean, we did find out about the Tet Offensive. We found out about, horrible bombings where 500,000 people were firebombed. We found out about, you know, Cambodia, a lot of illegalities going on, and all that became stuff that was also on the mainstream news. This was Walter Cronkite then talking about it as fact. We have this entire occupation where almost nothing has been talked about on any of the major networks. We've seen no coffins. It's an invisible man. And now look, people are truly upset. And, well, you know, it sucks. Past the hour, Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios tonight. Mike's coping with a bit of sniffles, and he'll be back in a flash. He's just being smart and taking care of it. Our number, 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. And coming up, we're going to hear a little the audio from a YouTube video of an actress we have in here, Mercy Malick, who I'm just a huge fan of, a huge progressive. She does lots of movies and TV shows. And she did a Sarah Palin mock, which is frighteningly real. We'll play the audio so you can appreciate it in full stereophonic. Even though you're hearing it in monophonic sound, I'm hearing it in stereophonic sound. Isn't that exciting? Not really, but it is kind of fun for me. I'm going to play you quickly, and then we will go to Michael and Sean and Chad and Dale. This is Antonio Banderas and Melanie Griffith talking about gay marriage. And as you know, the Proposition 8 thing, it really is just beginning, the backlash. I mean, tens of thousands of people are showing up now. I'm going to post on my website, GoHarrison.com, one word, GoHarrison.com, some pictures of me with the cops and the horses and the batons and the tear gas and the kind of fun I like to do. That's my kind of weekend. Why get laid when you can protest? You know what I mean? It makes so much sense. So I'll have those up, so to speak, probably by tomorrow, to be sure. But right now, let's listen to them. And this is, talk about two Hollywood hitters. This is their opinion about gay marriage. Oh, yes. How about Cut 7? Wasn't that a nice
throw? The more free and more open. I never had a problem with that, actually. So I think it is very...
Stop. Was that... Let me try it then from my end, okay? Hear it. It's okay. You're not going to get shot.
More free and he's more open.
That's my fault then. You go ahead and play it on your side.
More free and he's more open. I never had a problem with that, actually. So I think it is very clear in the way that I speak that I never did.
Why is it that your English is better than the president's?
I have to use my speech as a vehicle to work.
Melanie, your light thoughts on this?
Well,
hi, baby.
howdy. What can I say?
Well, the preceding part, which got chopped off somewhere along the line in the delivery system via satellite, was them saying, you know, that obviously it's insane, this, the whole anti-gay marriage thing, and that, you know, it's total nonsense. But unfortunately, that was a flat tire. Talk about getting the delivery well before the buildup. So never mind. But I think you get the point anyway. Let's say hi to Dale on Sirius Satellite Radio in Cleveland. You are on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right, my friend?
All right. Start off, I'm an evil conservative.
Evil, sir? Evil?
Yeah.
That's like a religious term.
Right.
Hold on, you want me to phone the bishop?
Well, also I'm an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran.
All okay. right.
And should I also stand trial for murder along with President Bush? That's the first point. Second one is in regards to the Proposition 8 in California, when you stated that, you know, sometimes we need adults to intervene, you know, basically telling the people that they're stupid is the way I am comprehending it.
Then you probably want to blow out that conservative Supreme Court, don't you think?
Well,
I mean, that's adult supervision in case one of us is particularly stupid and can't figure it out.
I'm saying that, you know, the Democrats are the party of the people, quote unquote.
Not for me, they're not.
But I'm saying, how can you say
that? I thought the Grand Old Party was the party of the people.
Well, I'm saying, how can you say that the people are a bunch of numbskulls when they voted?
I'm sorry, did you hear me say that?
Well, that's basically what you get down to.
What I get down to? That the people are a bunch of numbskulls when they voted. As far as I'm concerned, they were anti-numbskulls when they voted.
Well, that's what I have to say, is that, you know, why should the courts have to intervene if the people voted on it?
Okay, let me ask you a question, and I think you bring up a very valid question. Let us say that the same group of people decided to bring back slavery, right?
Okay.
And they raised a bunch of money, millions and millions and millions, and the people voted yes. Let's bring back slavery. So in California, Proposition 409 to bring back slavery, it passes. So should it just become law, or should it be reviewed now by the legislature, or should it just become law and we bring back slavery despite the Constitution?
Well, and that's the thing, exactly, the Constitution.
Well, there you go.
You know. And that's the whole point. In the Constitution, it doesn't specify anything about marriage or civil unions or anything of the above.
You're correct. But what it does say in the 14th Amendment, Dale,
okay.
is that all people are equal. That would mean, Dale, that you and I are actually equal under the law, which means if you, as a taxpaying American citizen, are allowed to get married, then I also have to be, as does the black man and the Jewish man and the Indian man. They're all allowed to get married, too, because we're all taxpaying American citizens, unless you can really tell us why some Americans shouldn't while others should, and go ahead and explain that.
And you know what? You do make a good point there. You know that there are things there that the courts can look into.
Should. That's what they're charged to do. You know, when George Bush or any president takes an oath to defend the Constitution to the best of his ability, that's what that's supposed to be about. It's the template. It's the template around which we can live. It's reliability on the fact that you and I get to survive, that where I end and you begin, don't interface. That way I don't disrupt your freedom, nor do you disrupt mine. It's beautiful. Remember, how many times in the Constitution is the word Commonwealth mentioned over and over and over? And the Declaration of Independence, it's about Commonwealth, that this country is a toilet if we don't actually have Commonwealth thinking, which is, I support you, you support me. We're not talking communism, but the fact is, if I don't protect your rights, then mine go bye-bye too. And then we've got what we have today.
And also about the whole thing about President Bush, you know, should he stand trial for murder? Where does that leave the vets? Should the vets who served our country in killed or be killed situations, and, you know, it's a war.
I'm there with you. I think that people aren't pointing at the people that were sent out. I mean, you sign a contract and you are in service to the nation. And if the commander-in-chief sends you to go, you know, stand on your head or do something horrible or do something great, and unless you absolutely know that this is a complete violation of the Constitution of the United States, to which you are sworn, if let's say you're a Marine, you're sworn to follow the Constitution. And Marines have said no in this because they're quite clear that a lot of the activity is unconstitutional. If you know you're doing something illegal, well, then that puts you in a prickly situation.
But if you're doing to the best of your ability what you believe to be the right and true thing, right? I mean, that is what you're actually supposed to be doing.
Absolutely, and that's what I served in Marine Corps, 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marine.
Yeah. Now, when we get up into the officer level, as we know from the Nuremberg trials in World War II, the thing of I was just following orders doesn't work when you're way up high in command.
Right.
Right.
And that's the
that's
thing.
Different.
You know, and even a private first class, whatever, the if I, as a corporal, give them an order, you know, go burn this house down, and for no reason, just kill them, just kill these civilians. That's wrong. That's against the law, and they
that's
know
right.
it. And if they do it, they're just as guilty as I am.
That's right. Now, that's exactly right.
So then, where I'm going with it is, right now, if everybody's saying, "Oh, Bush is a murderer, he's a war criminal," should all our Marines throw their M16s into the dirt and say, "You know what? Forget this."
They
I'm
don't have to. Well, they don't have to because it is slowly but surely going to get resolved. And, you know, this stuff isn't easy, but at least there's a movement to bring them back so they don't have to die anymore. Die for 4 oil companies in the U.S. Embassy. You know, oil, by the way, that hasn't really been flowing on purpose, except that now Shell Oil has just gotten themselves a lease for, 20-plus years. Free oil, baby! You know, for some that's a good deal. For the rest of us... 16 past. Tell me that it's imminent. Come on, people now. It's my only brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Come on, people now. It's my only brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another.
Talking to you on behalf of the Monolithic Oil Corporation about today's energy situation. You know, if we all just sacrifice a little, we can pull together to beat the current problems of not enough energy. And Monolithic is doing its part by killing most of the birds that nest around our beautiful oil refineries. Birds eat up a lot of food, and as everyone knows, food takes energy to grow and prepare. So, the fewer birds there are, the less energy will be wasted. Now, how can you help? Well, if there are any old folks around the house, just set them outside at night. This looks like a long, hard winter, and the fewer people there are, the less energy demand there'll be. Leaving the old folks outside is nothing new. The Eskimos do it all the time. And they know a thing or two about surviving in cold weather without much heat. You betcha. When you drive, don't take your foot off the gas for stop signs, red lights, little children, or anything. A smooth, steady driving technique is the most economical. The cost in human lives, suffering, and property damage will be more than offset by the savings in gasoline. Well, I hope these tips have helped you become more aware that the blame for today's energy situation is on your shoulders and your conscience and not ours. Monolithic Oil Corporation. We want you to pay.
22 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios tonight. 1-800-989-1480. Our number's here. 1-800-989-1480. Let's say hi to Sean, in Vancouver, Washington. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Harrison, in an effort to talk about the otherwise deadly dull subject of banking and finance, I've been thinking of ways of how I would spend $1 trillion. And I've been sitting here thinking, well, let's see.
All of 5 minutes to come up with, $1 trillion, I could.
Well, you know, we could put it towards AIDS research. Right. We could put it toward infrastructure. We could put it toward education. You know, there are a million good ways we could spend $1 trillion. But instead, we have, instead of Ocean's 11, we have Paulson's 9. the 9 biggest banks who have just stolen $1 trillion from the United States of America.
Well, and they had a little help. I mean, I think you remember, or I don't know if you know this or not, because, of course, it wasn't worthy of CNN, But Representative Brad Sherman here locally in Southern California, along with some other congresspeople, were threatened with martial law if they didn't. Do you know about this?
Oh yeah. I mean, they put up a heroic stance in the Congress to try and fight that bailout.
Well, let me play you. This is Representative Brad Sherman on C-SPAN saying that he'd been threatened with martial law if he didn't hand a blank check to the Bush administration.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, Harrison, is it just me, or when you try to talk to people about banking and finance, do you get this response, people just, like, roll their eyes at you, like, oh, come on, you know, not again. But $1 trillion, can you imagine what we could have spent that money on?
I'm just trying to imagine the visual of a trillion. Remember when they used to say $1 million of $1 bills would fill up, you know, 30 warehouses or whatever it is. Imagine $1 trillion of $1 bills. You know, imagine... I mean, it just goes to show, you know, we can't afford health care. Bull!
Well, apparently...
Bull! The sky's the limit, baby.
Apparently, crime pays, huh?
Oh, my God. We can afford anything. Woo! So, you know, if you really want it, you can do it. Here's an example. Chad, when you're... I'm talking to Chad, right? No, Sean.
Sean.
If you hear a song from a CD and you really like it, nothing can stop you from getting to that record store to buy that CD. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nothing. So if you really want something, you'll do it. Just like George W. Bush threatening martial law so he could have a blank check for $1 trillion.
Well, that's just it. You know, everyone,
he really wanted it. He really wanted it.
You know, everyone hammers the Bushes, and, you know, that's great. I'm all for that. But who's pulling their strings? These Wall Street investment bankers like Hank Paulson, former Goldman Sachs CEO.
Man, who's the most powerful cabinet member in history?
Oh, I mean, just to be able to go to the Congress with two pieces of paper and say, give me $700 billion now.
I'm going to do it. I swear. I'm going to fly out there with two pieces of paper and see what happens. Let me in.
Oh, man. Well, crime pays. I mean, what can I say?
And don't you forget it, Sean. All right, my friend.
Have a good night, Harrison.
Thanks. You too, pal. 1-800-989-1480. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. My website, you can come and visit. I will answer every email happily and gladly and sloppily, of course, is GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. I have published on there Dick Cheney's personal portfolio. If you want to be able to predict your own financial future, look at his pattern. He will tell you where to put your money and how to make money off of no money, because he knows, because he made it so. Like Captain Picard, he made it so, number one. Although, unfortunately, it looks more like number two, doesn't it? 27 past the hour. Hang on. Four minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Hollywood Nova M studios tonight. 1-800-989-1480. Our numbers here. 1-800-989-1480. How about, since we're going to Oregon, Chad in Eugene, you're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to encourage your listeners to join this nationwide protest this Saturday against Prop 8.
So you guys are doing it in Eugene, too?
Oh, it's all over the nation.
Like, yeah, I know. It's everywhere. It's hard to know what cities are going to participate and which ones are not, but it sounds like more and more, even the tiniest little cities are getting involved. It's truly extraordinary.
There's a website, jointheimpact.com, and you can actually go to, like, your state, and it gives you a list of all the cities that the protests are in. It's really helpful.
Oh, man, awesome. Hey, have you ever been an activist before?
You know, I've been part of the political arena. I've been politically active, but I've never been as active as I have been since Obama's campaign.
So here's a question, and it's going to make sense. For people who still haven't kind of gotten out of their chair yet, and it's okay, you know, everyone at their own speed and capability, but how does it feel? I know, God, it doesn't sound like, ooh, it's extra. How does it feel to win your Oscar? How does it feel when you're actually involved and part of the solution rather than perpetuating the problem through sheer sloth and ignorance? You're actually part of the... How does it feel?
Well, I got to be honest. A lot of times it's really frustrating because there's, you know, so many people that throw their opinions out there that are just completely uneducated. And especially with things like gay rights and everything, where you have these extreme and huge numbers of the Christian right that are trying to tear you down. But, you know, when you're actually out there and you're fighting the fight, it's incredible. It feels amazing. You actually feel like you have a sense of purpose and that things can get done. There's that sense of hope. It's become like a cliche these days with Obama, but, you know, it's true. Like, there really is hope that we can change things.
Yeah, and yes, we can. I also find that when I started, activism and getting involved in things that I believed in, the wide spectrum of things, as they are with you and I imagine everybody listening, is it felt suddenly like I was growing up in public.
Yeah.
You know? Like becoming a man. Like, this is what a man is supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
He's supposed to be protecting the things that he loves, the people he loves, people he's never met, doing the next right thing, trying to have integrity. You know, it's work. I mean, who knew that, right?
Right. And it gives you a sense that you're part of the community and you're part of the nation. I mean, this Prop 8 especially is not just, you know, a local issue. This is a national civil liberties issue. All men are created equal with unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness, I think, would be able to love another human being. And this is the foundation that this country is built on. And we really just need to fight for these rights, or we're going to lose them.
Yeah, and you know what? Friday night when I was in Silver Lake, which is in the eastern part of Los Angeles, where 12,500 of us showed up, it was a beautiful moment.
That's incredible.
Half of them were totally cool straight people.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm straight, and, you know, it's not just, you know, rights. It's not just about the rights of gays. It's about rights as people.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, once you, you know, if you destroy marriage, for one, you've destroyed it for everybody.
Exactly. You know?
And also, as you totally get, Chad, we've never had anybody take away rights before in this country. Not overtly. We've had Bush rip away the Fourth Amendment, the Eighth, the Seventh.
Right.
You know, but it's been legislative, it's been secret, whatever. But this is like, you know, mobs getting up, raising money, and then just, you know, ripping them away. So I think this is what it took. It had to be in your face, not skullduggery, but like really in your face. And so you, sir, are a hero. Just as I would march with anybody of any color or anything who was truly oppressed, so then are you doing that. And that, my friend, is an act of bravery in itself because it's uncomfortable. Like you said, you bear discomfort. People yell at you. People say horrid things to you. But in your heart, you know you're doing the right thing. You know that Thomas Jefferson is rolling around in his puddle of dust there going, this guy's cool.
Well, thanks a lot. I mean, and you're fighting the good fight, and I really appreciate you and everything that Mike Malloy does. It's because of this voice that we have now. I mean, we didn't have this liberal voice in the media during, you know, the Clinton years and during, like, before that with Bush Sr. I mean,
getting stronger, and the impact it has is so visible and so awesome and amazing.
I'll tell you a secret, Chad. The conservative talk shows, Laura Ingraham and Michael Savage and all they seed calls. They pay people to call in. Did you know that?
I've heard that, yeah.
I mean, it's like, it shocks me. Like, we have a full board right now. We have a full board all night, you know. I mean, it's like, because I feel like I'm with my friends, you know, and they are just so nasty on the other side. People don't call because I think it's a fiction that that's the way America is. So they actually have to pay people to call in as opposed to people voluntarily wanting to hear their, you know, be a part of something, hear their opinions heard, whatever. I mean, this is really, this feels organic and natural, what you and I are doing, what Mike has cultivated here, versus paying somebody to call up and say, oh, Laura, you're awesome. I love your kneecaps or whatever they do.
Well, yeah, you know, but there's still, like, so much that needs to be done. I was talking to a person with the Human Rights Campaign this week, and she was showing me the numbers that, you know, the Christian Coalition has 2,500,000 members or something like that, and Focus on the Family has 2 million some members, and the Human Rights Campaign only has 500,000 maybe. And so, you know, it's definitely a fight, you know.
It is. And you know what? If I were Jesus, I would come back and file a class action suit against everybody who ever did anything mean and nasty in my name. Absolutely. But apparently he's coming soon, apparently. But isn't every 7 years or something he's supposed to come back? My friend Hilsman Wright, who's sitting here, you know these things. Weren't you biblically inclined? Can you swirl that microphone over? Didn't you learn of these things?
I learned of a lot of things, and I've spent the rest of my life trying to forget them.
I love it. Let's go to Gordon on Sirius Satellite Radio. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hi, Harrison. This is Gordon in Oklahoma City.
Hey, Gordon.
I really enjoy you. You're like taking the word festive and just loading it down with all kinds of steroids.
Well, there you go. When in doubt, firm it out.
Right. I'd like to ask if any of the people have talked to the members of faith and ask them just how can you have freedom of religion unless you're free from somebody else's religion? Because we have a lot of believers on our side, and I'm not a believer myself. I'm an infidel.
You're in Oklahoma.
I'm in Oklahoma, yeah. And
ooh,
I'm
an infidel Okie. Ooh.
No, I'm TW and an unbeliever.
Wow.
But
TW, if you're just joining us, means that way.
Yeah, that
if
way.
If you know what we mean.
But here we have, you know, one group, and I really think they're a minority in this country, of loud right-wing Christians that are just pushing their religion off on other people. And then there's a lot of moderate religions that will even have gay marriages, but they're telling, no, your marriages are invalid. You can't do that.
Yeah, you know, it's so obvious, really. I mean, it is so incredibly obvious. That's the part that makes it so difficult to tolerate. But again, remember, this is a political mechanism. And thank you, by the way, for that. And thanks for calling from Oklahoma and outing yourself. Use your fake name. What a you know, you leave Los Angeles, which is just so open-minded and just wonderfully weird. This is a place where you could put on an Indian chief's headdress and the bottom half a suit of armor and go clanking around on the sidewalk and the cops will call you sir. You know, but you go 10 miles out of here and it just ain't like that. Trust me. My train of thought just derailed. I was going to say something pithy. I forget. That's with a TH. I wasn't. No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, we will go to Sanchez and Maceo and Judy. We're also going to hear quickly from Mercy Malik, who's a Hollywood actress in with us. She's done a YouTube video that has really upset the church as she has pretended to be Sarah Palin talking about the church. And for some reason, they're, should we say, disrelished, or one of my favorites, discommoded. which just means unhappy, but if you think about it, maybe ripping you off the can, too. I don't know. Either way, it's double plus on fun. 1-800-989-1480, our numbers here on the Mike Malloy Show. 1-800-989-1480. You can visit me anytime. Shoot me an email. GoHarrison.com, one word, GoHarrison.com, and I will, of course, write you back personally. 45 minutes past the hour as we continue from Hollywood, California, here on the Mike Malloy Show.
Yes, we can, the justice and yes, equality.
Yes, we can.
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 Had a little, I thought that I needed a lot. A little was overrated, but a lot was a little too complicated. See,
50 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show, live tonight from our Hollywood Nova M studios. 1-800-989-1480. I want to play you a little piece of audio. We have with us here in studio Mercy Malik, who's been in bunches of movies and TV shows. You'll recognize her face, although it's radio. Going to be kind of tough, but maybe a little bit of her voice. She did a Sarah Palin thing for fun with some, you know, pros around here, TV pros, and put it on as YouTube. And if you Google or go to YouTube, you know, .com and put in, what do we put in for that, honey?
Bible side chat.
Let's hear a little bit, because this has really stirred up some of the church folk. Take a listen.
Well, hello there. I'm Sarah Palin. This is Bible Side Chat. In this installment, we're going to discuss the differences between myself and my Democratic vice presidential opponent, Senator Joe Biden. Now, the main difference between myself and Senator Biden is that I am a good, God-fearing Christian who's accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And Senator Biden is a Catholic. Now, why is it so bad to be a Catholic? Well, to begin with, friends, Catholics are not Christians. No, not one bit. For example, did you know that they don't even have the same scriptures we do? The King James Version of the Most Holy Bible contains 7 less books than the Catholic Bible, which everyone knows was written by homosexual alien Satanists. And those aliens?
Oh, my.
Illegal.
Okay. So, Mercy, this YouTube is out there right now, and I understand that, well, there's been a little feedback.
There has, and we did a whole series of them, and apparently just post-election, the Catholics episode has been disturbing people. And my only, I mean, just exponentially more hits since the election took place. My only theory on this is that a lot of people are being whipped into a frenzy and being told that terrible, frightening things are going to befall people of faith under the new administration, which is comical and kind of mystifying to me.
Right. Well, and you were doing satire.
Right.
Your point was to show how her people, you know, I mean, remember, in her church in Wasilla, they've been out hunting witches and things of this. I mean, it's extraordinary. And it would make sense, I believe, in her particular form of belief, Catholics, they don't count, right?
Right. In fact, this was the one skit that I didn't have to write, because as an 11-year Catholic school veteran, these were all things that were told to me by fundamentalist Christians that I encountered over the years. So it was an easy thing to compile. And people are quite irritated by that, because some people are perceiving the sketch as being in favor of those ideas, which is
well. Let's give that out again, so that all of our little friends can go frolic in the. It's Bible Side Chat, which I think you probably just Google Bible Side, one word, Bible Side, and up will come Mercy's videos. And there's just a variety of different Palin-esque things. And how wonderful that these things got out before the election, because it's interesting. You know, more people get their hard news from The Daily Show than the regular networks, and more people are going to get a lot of their information about what is Palin's background stuff through looking at this stuff and laughing, particularly people in their teens and 20s. I mean, I think YouTube is the news. in many ways for them.
Absolutely. And she apparently is not going away. So we might want
to. No, she was on Lawrence Aloysius King tonight. Alabama, hello! For an hour.
In a borrowed suit.
In a borrowed suit. Well, I doubt that. You know, no, she ain't going away. She's now the biggest new celebrity we could ever want, right? Unbelievable. Bye. Let's go to Sanchez in Montebello, California on KTLK. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey, very good evening to you, Senor Harrison.
Thank you, Senor.
Actually, KTLK switched over to sports. They're broadcasting submarine races live from Long Beach Harbor tonight.
Yes.
It's exciting. It's the Guatemalan Coast Guard are here, and they're winning by 2 points.
Well, there you go.
I've only got a couple of seconds here. I'm looking at the clock, so I want to get to this real quick, man. I wanted to address Dale was the name of the soldier that called in a few calls ago, right?
Yes.
Okay. And holding Bush accountable, don't confuse Dale or don't equate the two. We're not talking about soldiers, Marines, or any of the military on that level, okay? What we're trying to do is hold the Bush administration accountable for all of the crimes. Yes, this man is a criminal. This man lied in front of the world. He falsified evidence, and these people's hands are bloodied with the scars, with the deaths of so many people, not only here, not only in Britain, but in other places in the world as a result of what they did. So we're not after the soldiers.
And Sanchez, I believe the Bugliosi idea is that we're prosecuting, or prosecuting the Bush administration for actually having murdered American soldiers.
Yes. Yes.
That's so it's about protecting them.
By placing them in harm's way needlessly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And as far as these people that are coming out and trying to, I think they still have the Obama clouds in their eyes or something, and they're getting a little soft as far as holding the Bush administration accountable. If you let these people go, if you let Bush, Cheney, John Yoo, and Alberto Gonzalez and the rest of these people go, you're repeating the same mistakes, much like Iraq is Vietnam. You're repeating the same mistakes of Ford pardoning Nixon for Watergate, Clinton not going after Reagan for Iran-Contra. And you're going to let this happen again with Bush? We're living by a rule of law here. It's called the Constitution. That's
what we are. You mean the GD piece of paper?
Yeah, I know.
But you know,
I
know. And we've got Mukasey too. Is that how he pronounces it? Mukasey, Mukasey, whatever it is.
Yes.
There's another evildoer.
Yes.
So let's not stop there.
Yes.
When in doubt, flush them out.
I can go for that. But at any rate, you can look at like Dennis Kucinich's 35 articles of impeachment as a template. There is more than enough reason to go after these people, and it's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult, but this is the growing pain that the country has to go through. And so we must move forward with this.
We must. And the fact is, Sanchez, and by the way, thank you for your call. It's like crowning when you're having a baby. We're crowning. And this big bowling ball of justice is coming out of our dilated os. And, you know, it can hurt. But we can have a political episiotomy to fix it up at the end. Who was that woman who said that she had movies in her head when I talked? How do you like that one? That's in Vista Vision, baby. 57 past. Harrison with you. It's been the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you so much. I love Mike's folks. Love Mike. Come say hi anytime at GoHarrison.com and have a great night.